this morning with our shorter service, we're going to be doing an introduction in the book of Romans. So if you'd like to turn there, Romans chapter 1. We finished a study of Abraham last week, and if you recall, we began that short series with Abraham's call. This week we begin a longer study in the book of Romans. Although we will depart from following a strict outline, as we found in Genesis, Romans begins with God's call of the Apostle Paul and of those who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is supremely interesting to find in the Bible the reason God has put us here. But why study Romans? It's a progressive lesson plan of a master teacher. Its theme is salvation, and if we are taking a theology class, it would be titled Soteriology, just in case you wanted to know that. And it's the salvation by faith and the implications for living by faith. Paul had never been to Rome. They had not had the blessing of apostolic teachers. A clear outline of basic teaching was needed. And down through history, there have been a lot of people who have been influenced by this book, this letter. Among them were the Catholic monk Martin Luther, who led the Great Reformation. He found in the book of Romans, "The just shall live by faith." And then also, the leader of a revival that swept across England was converted by a sermon from Romans, John Wesley, and he began the Methodist movement. So we're studying a book that has had an impact down through history. It's had an impact on a lot of lives. And in the book of Romans, we go from how a person lives outside of Christ and how he becomes a saint. And so we'll progress through that. And I'm not going to say that this is going to be a short study. Unlike Abraham's life, eight weeks? We might finish it by the end of the year in Romans, but we'll not go terribly fast. But in Romans chapter 1, we're going to be looking at the first 7 verses this morning and consider God's call and our calling. And it begins Paul writing the letter. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as we go to your word, we come dependently because apart from your Spirit teaching us, these are just words on a page, but you apply them, you give them spiritual dynamic and vitality. And I thank you that as we come and worship this morning, our worship involves a learning and a response of obedience. And we offer you ourselves today in Jesus' name. Amen. So first of all, let's consider the Apostle Paul understood God's call on his life. Paul is introducing himself to the Roman people. They may have heard of him because word got around the Roman Empire when tremendous things were happening, but he had not been introduced to the Roman people before. But what happened to him? What is so interesting about this man in the book of Acts? His name is the Hebrew name Saul. It was changed a little later as he was involved in his ministry to a Gentile name, to a Greek name, Paul, as we have it in English. But who was this? He was a guardian of the law of God. He considered him doing what he did as a guardian of the Old Testament law. This man, Jesus, that he heard about and that he heard from one of Jesus' followers by the name of Stephen, that was outspoken for this Jesus Christ, he was kill him. And he held the garments of those people who stoned Stephen, because this man must have been an imposter. He was moving away from the law of God, the Old Testament covenant. And whatever it took, he would do it to stomp out this insurrection. He was also opposed to the way of Jesus. And I'd like to, just how he wrote about himself, like to refer to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And he says at verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service, even though, and here's his history, I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. In his testimony before some of the Roman authorities, he said, I was agreeable to the death of Christians. Given the opportunity to cast my vote, I cast it against the Christians. I had them killed. But God made Paul, or this Saul and earlier, made him into something he wasn't before. He made him a new creation. God made Paul something that he hadn't ever been. Didn't expect to be. And we look in verse 1 and see how he describes himself. He's a servant of Christ Jesus, this one that he was persecuting. He's a servant of Christ Jesus. And he was no longer a servant of the temple. Can we get that? When he was going out, and he was converted on his way to Damascus with letters from the chief priests to persecute, to gather up, to imprison Christians that were in Damascus, clear up in Syria. You know where Damascus is because it's in the news daily now. And to take them clear down to Jerusalem. And he was on that road entering just outside of Damascus. And he was struck down by a light. But he was a servant of the temple, and he had these, oh no, because Jesus appeared to him, spoke to him out of that light that blinded him. And he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Wow. And so those letters didn't mean anything anymore. Because he now says in Romans, I became a servant of Jesus Christ. Called to be an apostle. A servant of Jesus Christ called to be an apostle. I'd like for you to note the word called. It's the Greek word kaleo. Starts with a K, kaleo. And it means to invite, to summon, and to bring along. This call was one that was a summons to appear before the Lord Jesus Christ and receive an apostleship. He was called to be an apostle. And that happened when he was there blinded at Damascus and set apart for the gospel of God. Set apart with a purpose and a ministry. And that's what God gave him, an exciting and new purpose. When we read down through this, he went into some of the history about the Lord Jesus, and who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. It wasn't just Jesus' claims. It was Paul being instructed by God to use his Old Testament knowledge. Paul had been a Pharisee. He had been at the top of his class, if we want to think of it that way. He was the Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he said, according to the law, blameless. Wow. He had a full knowledge of the Old Testament. He was well trained. He exercised it daily. And now he could go back. He could see, yes, there's a genealogy in Matthew of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the son of David. Oh, he's an heir to the throne. As to his physical, his earthly lineage, he is the son of David. And who was, through the Holy Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to also be the Son of God. Wow. He had all this knowledge, and he could go through the Old Testament and find it. Jesus had said in his ministry that you search the Scriptures just like Saul, just like Paul. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, just by knowing it, by digesting it, by memorizing it and applying it and forcing people to come into its mold, you think you have eternal life. But these are they that testify of me. These Old Testament scriptures are what tell my story. Jesus said, they testify of me. And so now with a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, a revelation of Jesus brought all these Old Testament truths regarding Messiah to light. They all pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul was entering a new exciting and a new purpose. And he had the authority by God to call Gentiles to faith and obedience. We find here that he received grace. Says, through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. God didn't just say, go out there and do it. He also gave him the authority to do it. To preach the gospel, to tell people about Jesus, to go to the Gentiles, to go to people that up until that point he thought were outside the reachability of God. If they weren't Jewish, they couldn't be reached. And God gave him grace to see Gentiles can be saved. I can remember when I thought similarly, but I was thinking of Muslims. And I had heard enough stories about Muslims so that when I was 23, when it really registered with me up at Bible school that Muslims could be saved, and I'd sit there, and we had pews in the chapel, and I'd sit there on that pew, and I'd think, what I'm hearing is contrary to what I've been thinking for a lot of the years of my life. Muslims, the ones that deny the Lord Jesus Christ, that have a different God, Allah, and he's a vengeful God, commands his people to kill. And the situations in the Middle East and against Israel. Oh boy, I thought, if there's anybody on this earth who cannot be saved, it's these who are persecuting Jesus, the Christian followers of Jesus. And I don't think they can be saved. And here we had missionaries coming from the Middle East to our chapel times. And they were telling us how in Iran at the time, in the early 70s, there were people coming to Christ out of Islam. I thought, that's not supposed to happen. That doesn't register clearly with me. But over the matter of weeks and months, it finally, God broke through that. Anybody is savable. It's the power of God. It's the power of the gospel. It's not who preaches it. It's God doing a work among the people. And it was amazing to hear that. And here's the Apostle Paul, who thought Gentiles were unsavable, being commissioned now. You go to the Gentiles, and you have the authority to go. So that when Jewish people would say, how come you're going to Gentiles? You say, God told me. I'm not doing it for the money, for sure. I'm not doing it for pleasure and for comfort. When you read his story about being shipwrecked, about being stoned, about being beaten, nah, it wasn't because it was a lovely lifestyle, but because God commissioned him. So this Apostle Paul understood God's call on his life. But we move on. Verse 6 and 7. Every Christian has the call of God on his or her life. Jesus commissioned his apostles to disciple the nations to obey. You remember in Matthew chapter 28? Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've told you. Observe or obey all things that I've told you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus commissioned his apostles to disciple the nations to obey. And the Apostle Paul, in writing this, he says that he has the authority to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. Now, we might want to just review just very, very briefly something from last week. And the point was made in James that our faith works out. It's not something we just say, sign a card and say, I believe. But it's something that works out in our lifestyle, in our actions. And James says that faith without works is dead. It's useless. It's void of clarity, of reality. Because even as Paul says here, our faith is going to be worked out in obedience. So what Christians are not, let's just touch on that. Christians are not members of a new club. Sometimes people think that. I'm going to be part of this club. I'm going to go to church and become part of this club. And because Christians go to this church, I guess I'm a Christian too. Christians are not members of a new club to them. And Christians are not ticket holders to heaven. I got my ticket, I'm good to go. When that time comes, I'll go to heaven. Up till then, you know, I'm just going to live it as I want. Is that the obedience that the Apostle Paul is writing to the people here? Obedience of faith. It's not living our own lifestyle or our own choice apart from Jesus Christ. So things have changed essentially for every believer, for every follower of Jesus. We find here in verse 6, you also were among those who were called to belong to Jesus Christ. You were summoned, you were welcomed, you were invited and welcomed to Jesus Christ. You are called to belong to him. So first of all, we have a change. Things have changed for the believer. First of all, the change is the change of kingdoms. In John chapter 15, verse 18, you do not belong to the world, Jesus said, but I have chosen you out of the world. We don't belong to the world anymore because you can't belong to both. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't belong to Jesus and the world. It doesn't work that way. We've been called to belong to Jesus Christ. The second change is the change of masters. The Lord Jesus Christ is now the Master. Jesus said in John chapter 15, a little bit later, verse 16, that I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. Because you know what I came to do, you know me, you know the work, but I call you my friends. In Ephesians chapter 2, we do have a history, though, that we had of an old master. In Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 2, the Bible tells us, you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. We did have a master. People can live in this world and think, I'm my own master. I'm the captain of my soul. To say that is to say Jesus is not my master, and the alternative is to have Satan as a master. He has blinded people's minds so they don't recognize him, but he is the master of this world. He is the ruler of the prince. He is called the prince of the power of the air. So a change, a change of kingdoms and a change of masters is essential to who we are as belonging to Jesus. We are called, just as Paul was called to belong to Jesus. And then he says in verse 7, to all in Rome, we could say to all in Garden Valley, to all in Boise County, who are loved by God and called to be saints. Would you be uncomfortable if people came up in the grocery store down at the market and shook your hand and welcomed you and good to see you, saint so-and-so? I don't recommend that. To know in our hearts, to know in our minds, we are saints before God. But to start calling each other saint so-and-so, they might think that we in ourselves have attained something that polish our halos. That's not what God calls us to do. But there are some things that are new. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, God has made us new creations. If anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There's different. Well, there's a couple things here that I'd like to point out. First of all, well, I repeat myself. First of all, there's a new identity because we belong to Christ. The second thing is a new priority to be called saints, and this is speaking of every believer. Now, there are other words that go along with this word saint that you might be familiar with. Hagios is the Greek word, and from that we get sanctified, and we get holy. So when we think, God has called you in Garden Valley to be saints, let's use one of those other synonyms. God has called you here in Crouch Community Church to be sanctified. What does that cause you to think about? That God is purifying your life? He's making you more and more like his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that what sanctification is? Is conforming more and more to Jesus? Yes? And so he's called you a saint because you are in this process, but that root word is the hagios. And it also means to be holy. It means to be sanctified, set apart, and in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, we're told he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be what? Holy and blameless in his sight. It wasn't something separate. This is the purpose that he called us. It's to become more and more conformed to the image of Christ, who was perfection, but that he is working on us to make us more and more. He's transforming us, conforming us into the image of Christ, to be holy and blameless in his sight. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. We have this command then, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. This isn't something that we work to do. It's something we realize we are to have, and God doesn't tell us to have something without giving it to us. He doesn't say, go out and be pure. He says, come to me and I will make you pure as you go out. Come to me and be holy so that as you go out, you will be holy. You will be expressing the life of Christ that I put in you. Let's see, we're in that this morning at 9:30. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. That we as Gentiles have been given the inside of a great mystery. That mystery is Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Christ is in you. And Christ in you, by the Holy Spirit, wants to reproduce his likeness. And he continues to do that. And so these new things, our new identity and our new priority, are meant by Jesus to set us on an adventure. See, I think Paul saw his ministry as an adventure. I used what I knew to destroy people and live in a culture of death and criticism. Now I live in a culture of life. Persecution, yes. Even as Jesus Christ was persecuted, identify with him, though. And what an adventure. And so being called to holiness, live in peace with everyone and be holy, it's an adventure as Jesus takes the leadership in our lives. Jesus said there was a twofold blessing for obeying his commands. In John 15, verses 10 and 11, said, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. I told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. He didn't say, I'm telling you this because holiness is really a drag. You know what? Holiness is just beating you down. You can't have any. I tell young people that as a Christian kid, I had more fun than anybody. I enjoyed my life to the full. And you know what? I didn't have to get up in the morning and say, oh, I'm really, really sorry. It wasn't a lifetime of regret. It was really a kick. Doing things that God put in my way to do it. I lived at Hood River, Oregon. How can you not have fun there? The foothills of Mount Hood and, oh man, what a blast. And enjoying life as God gave it to us. Holiness is not something that, oh, you can't do that, you can't do that. It opens up a whole arena of, let's go do this. Let's live. Let's enjoy what God has for us. So the two things, the twofold blessing of obedience, you will remain in my love, Jesus said. You'll remain in my love. Nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. And I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And the disciples must have seen Jesus happy. Or else, what would that sentence mean? I've told this so that my joy might be, and they'd be thinking, what? No, they'd seen him just delighting in stuff. And that your joy might be made complete. Do not resist his call, this call that we have, his summons or invitation. His purpose through his death and resurrection is to turn us from darkness into the light of life, and that we might trust Jesus daily. Let's pray. Thank you for giving us that call, Heavenly Father. Thank you for giving us life in your Son. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit, who works in us both to will and to do your good pleasure, conforming us to the person of the Lord Jesus, his will, his way, that we wouldn't trust in ourselves, but continually come to you and be filled with your Spirit, find the love and the joy that you impart to us. It's for our good, for your pleasure, and we offer ourselves today in Jesus' name. Amen.